Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports 9, The Game.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get on up. Get up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game. Dick Cavett is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It's the 29th day of April, or is it 28th? Yeah, I got to put my glasses back down. Yes, it's 28th. That's what I wrote. On this Sunday morning. Yeah. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to you people in Loganville.
In Loganville.
Loganville.
Hey, man. Going out 78.
Yeah. By the way, last week, I'm glad you mentioned the highway, because I was touting the enjoyment that I had driving across 285, and I didn't see any construction vehicles. Remember I was telling you about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to change.
Yeah, well, it always does.
Yeah, it's going to change. And let me just, again, to everybody who thinks they might be going near I-85 and North Druid Hills, check GDOT, G-D-O-T.
Yeah.
There is construction there. It all has to do with the Children's Hospital and making it convenient. We will enjoy what they're doing right now in a year or so, a couple of years. But right now,
right there,
it's a headache. Now, it's funny, though. They talked to some people up, you know, top of the perimeter, the folks that live up there, and they were telling, okay, we just finished, you know, this part, but we got to start this pretty soon and so on and so forth, and the construction's good. And they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. We've been dealing with this for nearly 10 years, so
oh, yeah.
We're used to it.
Oh, yeah. It never ends.
Anyway, there was an old joke about big cities, about, you know, highways in big cities are, there's only two kinds, inadequate or under construction. So, again, on this Sunday morning, man, it is nice to do a show where, you know, the body's connected with the brain. Well, somewhat. More or less. Half of yesterday was, I was somewhere else. And anybody who has gone to work after being up for 24 hours or 36 hours, and we've all done it, and I ain't complaining about it, but if you haven't done it since, say, college, or you have a job that, you know, you used to do it regularly, but, you know, maybe you got a promotion, you don't do it. But when you go back there and you do that for the first time after not having done it for a while, I've never flown to, say, Australia or yeah. or the South Pole or wherever you would go where there's a long flight. I wonder what the longest flight would be from here if it was nonstop. I don't think that you can go anywhere farther than Honolulu from Atlanta as far as a nonstop.
I don't know. Don't say that.
Listen, I don't want to try it.
I haven't tried it. I haven't tried any lately.
I would imagine. I say that knowing that I remember grammar school when I learned that you could literally fit another United States between L.A. and Honolulu. That's how much distance it is. It is the remote most remote place on the planet to get to and where it exists. So I would think that'd be the longest nonstop. Anyway, having said all that, I appreciate you two yesterday. Thank you. Thank Noel for getting me through it. But I'm blaming it all on Mr. Perry. And I will be seeing him again tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll leave it at that. How was your Saturday, man?
That was okay, man.
I got less energy here this morning. Yesterday, no, but today I do. You were all right there? You didn't get stuck in any kind of craziness? You see something exciting?
No. Just sat back and just monitored the draft, and you know, like a lot of people were doing, to see how things were going along and see how the Falcons would finish up. And well, Falcons are heavy on defensive interior.
Yeah.
On this particular draft, and we'll get into that a little bit more in the next segment, and as we go along this morning, as to what that basically means, what it allows the team to do. They drafted a Georgia player. Everybody says Falcons never drafted a Georgia player. They drafted a Georgia player.
They did.
They drafted a local product, someone who played their high school ball here in town. So, I mean, they covered all those bases. And still, you know, didn't do anything for the secondary. Still no cornerback. A lot of people wondering, you know, and maybe just nobody they had on their board was
right
there at the time. And, you know, we'll see what they do as far as the undrafted free agents, which those things are all taking place and finishing up today probably. And so you'll see what they have getting ready to go to the rookie and free agent camps that will be coming up soon. And, hey, man, put them on the field. That's what we know. All the talk and all the guessing and, no, they didn't do what you had listed on your mock draft.
Draft.
They ain't leave you listening to that. Let's put them on the field and let's get them going. It's that time.
More surprising, no defensive back, but yet grabbed a running back.
Yeah.
The running back was the one that made me do the Scooby-Doo noise. You know, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, and you got him, what, in the sixth round. So it wasn't like there was a whole bunch of – by the way, that was the round Tom Brady was taken in? Wasn't he a sixth round?
Yeah.
So you can get some diamonds in the rough.
It can happen.
Now. Yeah, absolutely.
It can happen.
So, again, we will be talking more NFL draft coming up in the next segment. Got NBA playoffs coming up. Hopefully, we can have a conversation with D-Led, top of the 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Get his thoughts on the draft. Did you like that picture I sent you yesterday? There was a conversation during our show yesterday. Noel, you too. I sent you guys a picture. We both were sort of disconnected. It was as if we weren't watching the draft all at the same time. I mean, we dipped in and out. But I was just, okay, I was doing this over here, and I look and say, okay, who was chosen? And I go back to doing what I was doing, because I didn't hear the Bob Seger song. I didn't hear Detroit Rock City by Kiss.
Yeah, yeah.
That they came back with. I just wasn't paying attention. And then, you know, what the heck is Jimmy Butler wearing? Did you see that picture?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, please. Anyway, first of all, I have a thank you for you from my house.
Okay.
From... Tracy, who wants to say thank you, tell Sam I said thank you for caring about how I felt about the the draft. Him wondering about that. But Bob Seger, there was a picture of Bob Seger. Folks want to know,
Barry Sanders.
Where was Bob Seger during all this? There's a few other folks. Now, we talked about Lizzo. We talked about some other people that were not at least seen that are from Detroit. You know, there was one other person that she told me about, I didn't think about it. I had to forget, and was nowhere near that. And I don't know how many times I've seen this person regularly, you know, tout their time in Detroit. Any guess who I'm talking about? Noel, any guess? I'm talking big name. And I will say as big a name as Bob Seger, and in some people's house, bigger. Nobody mentioned Madonna wasn't there.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody.
That's because we all forget Madonna's from Detroit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
I didn't forget about it,
but she doesn't do a lot of stuff.
Scheme, right, but when you think Detroit, that's not the first.
She doesn't hold up Detroit as much as other people who have made national stardom,
right.
And then they always remind people regularly. I think of her more from what she's talked about, you know, her connected with New York.
Exactly.
And hanging out at CBGB's and being a part of that underground scene and how she was, you know, she was handing out tapes just like Luda here. But she was doing it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, that was when I said, oh, yeah, she's from Detroit. Anyway, we are going to get back into that. Adam Alexander from FS1 is going to join us. I have got one for him today. Okay. I got one for Adam. I'm going to throw it up on him, and I'm going to see his response. But looking forward to talking to him. Yep. Noel's World, got a good one. Listen, if you didn't hear, and I wish I was here for your reaction to the They Got Next we played yesterday.
Oh, man. It was amazing stuff. If folks missed it yesterday, they're in for a treat today.
You are. And I didn't tell Sam who this kid was, anything about him. And then when it popped, even though I knew a little bit about him, I still didn't know what I was going to get. And we were all left with our mouths open. So we're going to do the replay of, I will just tell you his name, A.J. Obada. By the way, that's a great name, too.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Obada will be joining us at 8 o'clock, or you're going to hear his They Got Next. Darrell Thomas is going to be here. And Ms. Crenshaw, tell us about the special guest that we have coming up top 9 o'clock
Of course, you know, we have a number of drafting. The NFL draft is always a time we kind of celebrate in our local area, those who played their high school football in the area. And I haven't gotten a whole list, and I don't know if D-Led may have. He usually makes a list of all the players with ties to Georgia who played their high school ball when they could get drafted. And usually when it's done, we have anywhere from a dozen to 15. Some years it's been 18, 19 people from the state of Georgia who get drafted. This is what we're going to have today from Marietta High School. Kamani Vidal went to Troy University and got drafted yesterday by San Diego, by the Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to talk with them about getting the call from Coach Harbaugh, getting a chance to go play on the West Coast, what he thinks that's going to be like for him. But, Greg, you know, we already know that the Chargers are due to come and play in Atlanta in the fall.
Okay.
So he's going to get to come home and play. And so we see what that means for him. It meant a lot to him when he came to play against Georgia State. I mean, he had an incredible day against Georgia State last season. So, you know, he's one of these folks, when he gets a chance to come home, he likes to show it a little bit.
I never asked you this question in all the time we've been together because I don't know. What is the – or is there an allotment on the college level for family members when they want to come? So he comes here from Troy, plays Georgia State. How many tickets are they, or the family got to buy the tickets?
I think basically the visiting school kind of helps.
Oh, they do? Okay.
If they know they got kids from the area, because that's the thing. When schools like App State come to play, you know, App State always has about 15, you know, 16 to 20 kids from Georgia, a lot of them from the metro area on their team. All their families want to come out. So, you know, I don't know. But I know his family was there last year when he came to play here.
Okay. Joe Patrick is going to join us at 9:20. I haven't talked to Joe in a minute. Normally we talk to Joe about the Braves, but he has spread his wings. He is following the Braves. He is following Major League Baseball, but he's also doing some NFL stuff. And he's also obviously was all over the draft. We're going to talk about his time up in Flowery Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And how much he enjoyed doing it. Because everybody, people from your old world when you were doing TV, but the people who have to go out and cover these events all seem to have a story afterwards. So I want to find out what Joe's story is from being up there all that time. Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
It's usually catered.
Oh, you're talking about the food.
Yeah.
I have something for you off the top as far as happened on this date. And I do this because I don't know if this record actually still exists. But today was the day that Andre Agassi regained the number one title. And by doing so, he became the oldest man on the ATP history to get that title, to get number one again. He was 33 years, 13 days. Has that been eclipsed, do you think? I mean, I don't know when Federer. That would be the only person I was thinking of.
Yeah, that may have been older and being number one.
Yeah.
To reclaim it, not already.
Well, just to be number one at that age. He reclaimed it on this day. That's not the record. It's the fact that he was 33 and X amount of days at number one. And that was a record in 2003. So I was just curious if it still was. Did Federer break it, or does Agassi still hold that record? You know, so he got to have some kind of record when he sits across from his wife at the table, because she got him beat up and down.
She got everything. Did she turn around? You see all this?
Yeah,
back
yeah,
here?
Yeah. What'd you say?
You see all these?
Let me just take a look over my shoulder. Anyway, we are just getting started on this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your weekend morning, Saturday and Sundays. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
I don't mind saying, I just can't make it. I love.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. That's a Sunday morning song. This one right here.
Think so?
This kind of reminds me, you know.
I don't think so.
It just pops into my head that way. It's a Sunday morning song to me.
I like the song.
I do too.
I like it. But I don't.
I like it a lot. Thank you, Noel, for playing it.
I don't pin a particular day on it, but it's a good song.
It's a weekend thing. So it's a weekend. Yeah. Saturday mornings remind me of certain songs. There are certain songs remind me of Saturday mornings. This one is like coming home from church. Early afternoon. You're driving around. You got to run somewhere. And that song pops on. Of course, it had to be many, many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
It had to be a few years.
Get on that station.
Just replay
stuff, and then you're good to go. Again, Sam and Greg, on this Sunday morning, what was the other thing I wanted to just mention? We got a lot of famous stuff that happened on this day that you are going to want to comment on. Because it really is, from the sports world and everywhere else, it's just one of those days where stuff happened. And I'm looking forward to getting your thoughts on some of it. But listen, this draft and what the Falcons did or didn't do, you had mentioned in the first segment that no defensive backs. A little surprising to you.
No defensive backs, and that's something you felt like was a priority going into, more so than quarterback.
More so, well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Defensive end, but go ahead.
But that's what happened. And it did turn the defense once we got past the first round. So, you know, we're getting defensive tackles. Got some guys that I think could be flexible on the defensive front yesterday as one of the picks. They really liked the Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon. And here's the other thing. You know, we're in the heart of the SEC, and we get guys from Washington and Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, they need to come and be a part of it. But it also talks about the team, what the scouting staff did, and the work that they put into to doing this. The research that goes into this is something that, you know, people, you know, may or may not really pay that much attention to. But that's a big thing, the fact and the things that the teams weigh when they make a decision to bring somebody into the fold, and the things they have to do, the different things and the rule changes that sometimes you think about. You think about how they're changing the kickoff rule.
Right.
You know, how much of that thought went into some of the players that were selected.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
you
know? Yeah.
So, I mean, you got different things you have to really think about other than what they would do in a regular down-by-down situation, you know, and rotating into to a possession on the field. So I think that's the whole thing you think about, you know, the totality of what they do. And when you think about that, Falcons did go defense. You know, you figure they need some help there. They did do some things in that regard. They got the linebacker and really excited about J.D. Bertrand, a young person that we watched play their high school ball at Blessed Trinity here in town and go up to Notre Dame and have an outstanding career there. He's going to get to come back and play because you think about it, he's had a chance to come back and play at home a few times against Georgia Tech. He got to play over in Athens when Notre Dame got to come and play over at Georgia. That was huge. And now he's going to get to come back and be a part of things with the Falcons here in his hometown. So everyone's very excited about him. I talked with Tim McFarland, who was his high school coach yesterday, and he's excited. I said, Coach, how many of you got in the league now? He says, well, I thought about it. He got about five or six guys that he's. And he's worked with
you know that you, when that first the first part of that is what's art is when he says well, I never really thought about it when you don't think about because most of them out there go man I put two people in the NFL and they're proud about it want you to take them to Perkins but this is a guy who's like
it's more about
my high school job and where he's not looking forward he's doing what he got right in front of him that's a man in Zen
how about that right so I had a chance to talk with him about that now you're right when you think about a day like today. But it's not until the weekend like this comes, maybe that a lot of high school coaches do stop and reflect on what they poured into somebody, made them do that extra rep. Or you really, a lot of these guys, you didn't have to make them do anything. A lot of these guys are really motivated, and they saw the possibilities, and they put in the work. JD is one of those type guys. But, you know, the high school coach thinks about those type things, the time they poured a lot into them, and they see where they take it.
If you weren't listening yesterday, to your point, we heard a former NFL player and our colleague talk about that because I actually questioned him. We're talking about David Archer joined us yesterday at 9:20.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the draft and just overall football and getting to the league and what these guys do. Just the whole conversation, which, by the way, is online. You can go to the Sam and Greg page, 929thegame.com. But he didn't land there. He didn't want to stay in college. His perspective came from what you just said. He said, these guys that we're looking at right now that come in NFL ready, They're not getting it done, all getting done, when they get to college. These guys are starting on the high school level. These high school coaches know the players that they have that they feel will ascend and the type of program that he wants to have. I mean, it's not just a certain kind of offense or a certain kind of defense. These guys are, well, as you said, they're putting together a program that prepares them. This is your first step. And if you follow what I do and keep your head right, you will have an opportunity.
Right. Not saying you're going to make it.
Yeah. You will have an opportunity
right.
to be seen and given a chance to show what you can do on the professional level. But it starts right here.
Yeah.
And that's basically what David Archer was saying yesterday. And he's seeing it by these kids who are coming into college and how they're ready. Now, the other part about that is, and we didn't get into this too much with David, their head is not, like, let's say that was the case 5-10 years ago, you know that their head was 100% focused on getting to the pros when they got to college. But now, when you get to college, it may be half of that or whatever. And then the other part about that is all NIL and the money stuff that you can lay your hands on. Not that they're going to have an opportunity to.
Right, but that's the other part.
But they're going to try it.
As the transfer portal prepares to close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And guys are chasing money bags all over the place. And we haven't really gotten to the one that just landed up due to land at Georgia this week. And we'll get into that maybe later on this morning. But the guys you know today, you know, and that's what this three-day celebration basically is at the draft. And so, you know, Georgia had a strong draft once again. A number of players selected there. Cedric Van Praan was taken yesterday, junior center. Was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. And Zion Logue. Drafted by the Falcons last night in the sixth round with the Falcons' last pick that they had, a defensive tackle. And a lot of people feel like the upside for this guy is great. He's 6'6", 314. He's a tiny fellow. But he looks like he's going to do that. And so it's a big, big draft for UGA once again. Everybody over in Athens very proud of the players and who were selected this time and will get a chance to play the next level.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I got a question to ask you or your thoughts on just overall in these guys as they leave college approaching the pros. But I do want to remind folks that we possibly could have D-Led joining us top of the hour, who will give a whole different perspective on the draft, what the Falcons did, his thoughts. Do we ask him for a grade? Do people still do that? D-Led? Like, we're going to grade the Falcons. I don't know.
He probably may. He may.
All right.
He may have that.
We will talk to him, hopefully. Coming up at the top of the hour. But I wanted to ask you about one of these other changes that we are seeing in the empowerment of the players. And the one that stuck out to me, and again, you got to be at top of the food chain, but it was Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
not signing to make his likeness, jersey number available, not only through the merchandising of the Cardinals, but also on Madden. And he will see. I'm just saying, how many people that you thought of, and I can't remember even the last couple of years where you heard of a player coming into the league saying, "No, I'm not signing that."
Yeah,
this is the first,
but that,
and this is the changing of the tide.
That's part of what the NIL also does. You know, you become aware of things at an earlier age. At an earlier time, guys are becoming aware of it right on down to the high school level. What to sign, what not to sign, what has value. What has value, potential value later on, and what you can have value in now. So, yep, you're gonna get more and more of that.
And these guys that have these agents that know that are completely versed about this, these ain't the Drew Rosenhauses. Next question: the Lee Steinbergs. You don't hear these guys. You didn't hear the agents. I mean, we found out, or we could find out, you know, or see this person around town because he's with Kirk Cousins. But that dude who got Kirk Cousins the money in Minnesota and then here. That guy's got to be his case. He's got to be doing classes at, University of Georgia. He's been teaching classes all around the country.
Yeah.
This is how you get over on the NFL and what they did. That person, the other agents that are getting these guys prepared, it seems like they don't want they don't want their names out there like that. Whereas those other agents, they want you to know who they are. It's almost like vanity plates.
Yeah.
You don't see that much.
You know, it's just like anyone else. It's just like some owners want to be out front. They want to be seen.
That's
and
right.
Some just want to do what they want to do. We need a check for this. Here's a check. Just go get it. Whatever we need. And some want to be out, everybody want to be Jerry Jones. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's not everybody wants to be that. So it's that same way now with people who work in that arena. You know, the people who need to know. He feels like if he's doing the job and he's getting a deal for a guy like a Kirk Cousins,
right,
the people who need to know, know.
It's funny you bring up Jerry Jones, because were he or when he passes, time will, a little bit of time will pass, and then when you bring him up again and what he's done, it you have to get the context of it, because at the end of the day, Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, 3 Super Bowl rings, and became the owner responsible for heightening the amount of revenue that the league has seen, and made all the other owners as rich as guy. He's like the head of the finance committee, right? Or that owner who's he's responsible for making more money for the owners than any other owner. So when you look back, you go, oh yeah, this guy must have been pretty, he must have been pretty good. But you forget about that, you know, 25 whatever window it is from them first 3 to whenever as he decides to step away, and what he did during that time. It's just, like I said, when you bring it up.
He enjoyed the spotlight.
He enjoyed the spotlight, and you got to wonder how his story will be told. I can't think of another owner in the NFL right now who they'd make a 30-for-30 about.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one I would be interested in hearing, and just because we know it, but we don't know it. And how the Packers have existed all these years being community-owned.
The way they are, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd like to get something a little bit more clarity on that.
And speaking of Packers, Travis Glover, Georgia State, shout out to him. Drafted in the 6th round yesterday, one player from Georgia State that was drafted by the Green Bay Packers.
Hmm.
And he's a big fella. I wonder what he's going to do going to practice with some kid riding on a bike, riding the kid.
That's another picture.
I want to see that picture of Big Travis on that bike with that kid.
on that stingray.
Going to practice. But shout out to him for getting there. Also signed after the draft last night, Jontre Hunter from Georgia State signs with the Patriots. And Darren Granger is going to the Jets. New York Jets quarterback is going to go to camp with the Jets.
Trying to find out where these draft locations are coming up, because we got Green Bay next, right?
Yes. I want to know when we're going to get to have it here. Well, you know? I mean, they probably say, all right, Atlanta, you guys took over Super Bowl last night with Usher and the old Atlanta show. So we let y'all show, you know. So I don't know, but that's, I would like to know when we get to do that. We obviously know where it would take place. Obviously, we figure it would take place at Centennial Olympic Park. Maybe, but maybe they're gonna what we're doing with the Gulch. That might be the place that's.
It's got to have easy access, though.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be easy access. It'll be easy access. Yeah.
The Gulch better than Centennial Park? Well, it's kind of the same. It's about the same.
And you can take the MARTA train either to any of it. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll be in that vicinity if and when Atlanta gets to host it. It would, you know.
Yeah, I'm still looking for
it. Do they need us to lobby for it?
Well, we just did, and we'll continue to. Unfortunately, we don't know that the powers that be are listening to us. we don't know that. But listen, there's a whole lot of people that know the want is here for us to get the draft, and it will happen. You know it's going to happen. Whatever is going on, eventually it gets to the city that has the busiest airport in the country, so everybody can get here.
Yep.
So it's going to come. But are you going to go next year? You have any interest in going? Is it Green Bay? Yeah, Green Bay. You have any interest in going up there for the draft?
I mean, I've been there for a game, but no. It, at least it should be warm. Everything kind of thawed out by now. By then.
Okay.
You at least don't have to worry about going up there and freezing to death.
No. My thing is, where are you going to go afterwards? Because everything is kind of concentrated around the stadium.
Yeah.
You're a minute and a half from Milwaukee. I guess you can drive down there if you want to. But it'd be interesting. I keep hearing D-Led in my head when we ask him talk about going to the draft, and he goes, "Oh, I'm not going. It's a TV show. I get my work done here."
Yeah, it has become that.
He had no interest in going. Gonna talk to D-Led. Hopefully, top of the hour, we will see. But up next, gonna talk about these Braves. Oh my goodness gracious! Yesterday, they had a chance to pull that one out, and I thought of you because the bats just with the bases loaded too. We'll talk about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.
I heard a kiss from you. Red magic satin playing near two. All through the morning rain again, the sun doesn't shine. Rainbows and waterfalls run through my mind.
Now see, this is a Saturday night song. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. 28th day of April. Hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend so far. Thank you for letting us be a part of it, Saturday and Sunday morning, 6 until 10. And again, you folks in Loganville, during the 6 o'clock hour community. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 6 o'clock hour community. I actually never put it like that, but I'm going to start doing that.
There you go.
You don't get a plaque or nothing, but, you know, we acknowledge you. Braves, did you see any of that game? I mean, you had sparks coming off your remote control, I'd imagine, when you were in front of the TV, but did you spend much time watching toward the end of this game? Because it was a boring pitcher's duel for the most part.
Yeah. You know, and you get one of those, but once again, you got the two best teams in baseball right now going at it. So it's kind of fitting that you would have a game like this that would come down to pitching. And they come out on the short end this time. Guardians with a 4-2 win.
Yeah. Extra innings, too.
Yep, an extra and 11, you know. So Josh Naylor driving home the game winner and Braves win. Charlie Morton gave a good start. Went seven innings.
He did exactly what he needed to do.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Another great start for the Braves. They get into the bullpen. Unfortunately, things didn't hold up from that point, but you cannot fault Charlie Morton, who went seven full innings, struck out six, scattered four hits, and no runs. That's a fantastic start.
You can't put this one on the bullpen, though. I mean, you could if you want to, but the Braves had their opportunity before that. They had no outs, bases loaded in the 10th inning. And just, you know.
Yeah.
I thought of you the entire time that was going on. I was like, okay, let me turn the heat up on, you know, dinner, and it'll be over with here in a minute. Nope. Then trickle here to play, you know, got to force out at home. Then you had this play. I'm thinking, this is Sam talking about them bats going to sleep, and now we're seeing it again. Now, I don't think this is going to happen with any kind of regularity, but it does happen, which is why I don't get that worked up when playoff time comes. I get mad. But this is why baseball is what it is. It's hard to continue hitting that little round thing on a regular basis.
Bagel for the night to Acuna, Riley, and Olson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for the night. And you know what you usually get from these guys. You know what you normally get from them, and just didn't happen last night. And it's been slow happening this season for both Acuna and Riley and Olson, really. To start the season, but you know things change with those guys. You know it's going to get going for them, but last night was an illustration of just how this first month, but once again, you're through the first month of the season and look where you are.
Yeah, so, this is Snitker, the organization, Anthopoulos, all of that. They've got things in place. And as I have said, not everybody subscribes to this, but as I have said, it's April. Got a few more days of it, but whatever's happening now, negatively, let it happen now. The big three that you just mentioned, they're going to have a slump in the season. Let it happen now. And then just gradually remind folks. Now, Acuna, that's going to be a little different. I don't think this is a slump. I just think he is the MVP coming back every year is going to face a different kind of pitching. He's going to get everybody's best stuff. And if he sees a strike during a plate appearance, it'd be rare.
Yeah.
So that's what Acuna's got to deal with this year. The Steals, they got no control over. They're going to have to throw him out. But the way they pitched to him, I would imagine, has altered. Now, will that be consistent for the next X amount of months? I don't know. But whatever they're going through, let him make the adjustments now. Are y'all going to pitch me differently? Okay. Well, then this is when Ronald makes the adjustment. And I have full confidence that he will.
You look to see what they do. They wrap things up today. Rubber game of the series, 135 today out at Truist Park. And Bryce Elder gets the ball. And see what he does. Of course, he's 1-0 since his return from Gwinnett. Had a chance to talk with him a little bit this week when I was at Truist Park. And, you know, he's confident. He's doing some things that he's always done. Just was diligent, put his head down, and went to work when the team said, hey, you're going to start the season up at Gwinnett. He's there. And, you know, with Spencer Strider gone for the year, he looks to step in. And you don't expect him to be Spencer Strider. But you want him to be Bryce Elder and be that Bryce Elder that we saw the first half of last season. If he can bring that dude back and reproduce that, what a boost that would be for this Braves team to once again have him go out. So let's see if he can go out and give the Braves another 5-7 inning start in the game this afternoon at 1:35.
And then, oh, wait, it stopped with Cleveland. I got to get this full schedule here in front of me real quick. The Braves full schedule.
What are you going to hit the road? They're heading out west.
Now, this is going to be, again, important, but not crucial road trip because of who they place second.
Yeah.
Seattle is what it is. But see, this is the thing. This happened last year. They were going out to the West Coast. And we were already putting them past that first opponent, which was Oakland.
Right.
And we saw what happened there. And it didn't go so well. Did the same thing with the White Sox, too. Didn't go so well. So I don't want to hear about you, these guys playing up.
You can't sleep on Seattle. They sleep on Seattle. Play on words.
Sleepless.
Sleepless. But they're in first place right now in the division.
Right, and they scare you? I mean, long term?
They got potential. They got potential. They have the potential to be the team there at top. They're on top right now. They could be there when the season ends. I mean, when you look at the West, though, look who's in the bottom. Look who's in last place in the West in the American League. Wow.
Well, now you just, that. Let me go look real quick here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I got no problem with that.
Looking up at the Angels.
Good. Good. And that's what Ron Washington is going, hey, take a look at me. Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing.
Looking up at the Angels. Whoa. Yeah, you know that can't last.
Now, you're saying that because of the guy you admire so much. And even though he's not there anymore, you still got some Dusty residue on that
team.
Well,
not that. I mean, the team was there. They were winning when Dusty got there. I mean,
they were cheating when Dusty got there.
Well, they were cheating.
I'll say it if you don't want to
say
it.
They were winning.
They were cheating.
Yeah,
that's what they were doing.
But right now they are in last place in the American League West. Wow. Just wow.
I would celebrate if you gave me an empty garbage can, but I don't have one handy.
You're going to bang on it a little bit.
Hey, did you, speaking of Houston, no, this is going to be, I'm going to flip this in a very positive way.
Are you now?
Did you see who got, Baseball Digest has an award they've been giving out for the last 3 years. And it is called the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Okay.
Right. Now, the first one was Willie Mays.
Okay.
The second one was Vin Scully.
Ah.
The third one last year was Joe Torre. Ask me who got it for this year.
Who got it for this year?
We just mentioned him. Dusty.
Really?
Dusty Baker won the Lifetime Achievement Award handed out by Baseball Digest.
That's outstanding.
I'm curious, though, because I don't have it in front of me. I just saw the award and the list of people who were there. What's the criteria? I mean, do you have to be alive? I would imagine that's got to be the case because there's a whole bunch of people that you could.
I would assume.
So my question then is, of the baseball people that are still with us, who would you consider? And by the way, 404-726-0927. I'm just saying you can call us up for whatever topic we're talking about. You don't want to hear from the folks? You did that little thing there like that. We always want to hear from the folks. Who do you think would be next year? If you had to grab onto a baseball lifer that is worthy of this award.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to think of another all-time announcer. There are not many of those dudes around. Is there an owner? Is there some kind of contributor? One of those like Marvin Miller dudes. One of the agents or somebody.
And somebody who's
moved
in the name of the players, right?
Right. Again, think about it. We'll come back to that. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to it. But I was curious, who would be after Dusty?
Wow.
You know? And congratulations to him getting it this year.
Absolutely.
But it did get me. The one name that I thought of, and I don't know how people would feel about it. Well, first of all, is the commissioner. Who's the – not Tangley and Pooh. The previous – Manfred. And then Bud Selig.
Selig?
Did they give it to a commissioner?
They could. I mean, he was a commissioner. He was an owner.
Right?
That was a thing a lot of people kind of held against.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some who feel like he never gave up that position.
Yeah, so that's a little different. I mean, but the idea of the commissioner is he kind of represents the owners.
We should be figuratively slapped for – one just popped into my head, and I'm going, hang on a second. Why can't we give one to Ted Turner?
We could.
Ted, I mean, that you think about what he has contributed when it came to the team and then the network.
Absolutely. You know, he deserves all those type of things. Now, would he be able to attend and receive
Well, it? Again, that you could have a family member come and pick it up for you.
You know, that's the whole thing.
But I'm going to start writing a list out right now here. So
you mentioned Willie Mays and jot down the date, June 20th of this year. That is the day for the Field of Dreams game, which this year would be in Birmingham.
You wouldn't mention that. Please tell the people again about this.
They're not walking out of the cornfield. They're going to play.
They're going to play
in the oldest professional ballpark. Rickwood Field, place that I visited many times of my youth. It's going to be a place, and I spoke with my cousin last week, Solomon. We tried to get him on to talk about the things they're doing to that ballpark, and because the Birmingham minor league team, Barons, have a new stadium in downtown Birmingham. Mm-hmm. So this place is like a monument. You know, it's a lot of history. When I went there as a youth, that was the A's AA farm club. So you saw Joe Rudy, you saw Sal Bando, you saw Reggie Jackson, you saw Catfish Hunter, you saw all those guys, Raleigh Fingers. You saw them all playing their minor league ball in the stadium. It was also where the Birmingham Barons and the Birmingham Black Barons of the Negro League played. And so this is where Willie Mays' professional career started. And so with the Giants coming back, they're going to honor Willie Mays by coming back to his hometown and playing in a stadium where his baseball career began. And I have no idea what tickets are running for this, because I think the place probably seats, I don't know what the seating capacity is of that stadium. I tried to ask my cousin last week. And they're adding some seats to it. Maybe about 8,000-9,000, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, I'm thinking. I'm sure they're going to increase the seating for this particular game. And right now, basically, you have some college games that are played there, some high school games, some baseball showcases, you hear about that type thing. But the minor league team will come back and play, I think, for one weekend. They'll have a throwback weekend, and they'll go back and play at the old ballpark.
Is that a trip you'd want to make?
Absolutely. That's why I was talking with him last week. I said, how tough is it to get in that place? And he's trying to get, you know, media clearance to be a part of it. I believe the current manager of the Giants, or someone with the Giants, a coach or manager, actually played minor league ball there.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, in Birmingham. I think he was on, because they haven't, the Barons haven't played there in years. Remember, they were in Hoover for so many years when
Jordan showed up?
Right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So they moved from that ballpark, and, you know, they're playing back in town, in downtown Birmingham. So that's coming up on June 20th.
You know what that is going to be like on the holiday, the day before.
Yeah.
For that game on the 20th and the luminaries that will be there then,
yep.
The celebration the day before is going to be something special to be down there for. That's where you want to be.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to be where you just want to be there and make sure you got plenty of, you know, got your batteries and everything lined up there. So, you know, nothing break. Have you been on one of them remotes, or not remotes, but one of those jobs, and this is before the technology that we have now, but where your battery died and you had to record somebody?
Yeah. Oh
man, that happened to me once, and it drove me crazy. And of course, the program director drove him crazy too. But you had that happen for a famous. I'm just curious if it was somebody that popped to mind.
I had a camera issue at my first Masters, 86,
mm-hmm.
and the way they would do the press back then was, you know, the winner would go to Butler Cabin, be on CBS.
That would be Jack Nicklaus, that.
Then they would go to the press building for all the print media to talk with them. And one by one, all the television stations would line up in back of the clubhouse.
Yep.
And as he's working his way down, my camera guy's having problems. My camera guy's having problems with the camera. And I had heard all kind of stories about how the different times he had won, sometimes he'd be in a good mood. Sometimes he'd be a little surly, you know, and whatnot. And I'm like, man, how's this guy going to be? And he got over there, and he couldn't have been better. He really was. He was patient. He was great, you know. And, had a great interview. But of all times, you know.
Really?
Maybe. Yes, sir. You got a problem with your camera.
You and me both had a problem with my cameraman while I was doing that piece at the Carter Center. And then Jimmy Carter comes walking by, and I walk over. And of course, he's got Secret Service.
Oh, yeah,
so I realize I need to walk slow. Mm-hmm. But they realize I'm no threat because I got a cameraman with me, right? But now he stays back closer toward the museum entrance. We had just left the new museum, because they had just refurbished it and put all kinds of new equipment in there. And I'm doing this for this website, and he comes walking through. And it was right around when John Smoltz retired. Or it might have been either he retired or he left the Braves, you know, the first time, went to the other teams. And I was going to ask him that because we all knew that he was a big Braves fan. And I go up and I approach, excuse me, Mr. Carr. And, you know, they see me and they see that I'm no problem. And I got up to him thinking that my cameraman is filming this.
No.
Dude is looking at me. He's just that. He's holding the camera and he's looking at me. We don't want to have the FCC call Mike
there
tomorrow
go.
Morning.
There we go.
I repeat the words I said to him after it was all done. But how do you miss not filming that? Even if it ain't me, it's any, you're standing in front of a president.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, we are moving into the 7 o'clock hour. I'm sorry, just like that cameraman frustrated you, I get a little, when I think about that. There's missed opportunity. Let me tell you something, folks. We will leave you with this thought. I think Mr. Crenshaw will agree with me. In life, there's nothing worse than missed opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Having said that, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.